a mouse. Every crevice in the keep, where a beetle back a creep, every outlet, every drain, have we searched, but all in vain, all in vain.
Orders are ye, who do ye want?
Every loss, every cheek, every grain.
Orders are ye, who do ye want?
Jailed like jailing did so jeopardize his jailership. Come, take heart, smile, laugh, wink, twinkle, thou tormentor who tormentest not, thou racker who rackest none, thou pincher out of place. Come, take heart, be merry as I am. As I am.
Ay, it is well for thee to laugh. Thou hast a good post and hast cause to be merry.
Cause? Have we not all cause? Is not the world a big butt of humor into which all who will may drive a gimlet? See, I am a surly wit, and is there aught in nature more ridiculous? A poor, dull, heartbroken man who must needs be merry lest he be whipped, who must rejoice lest he starve, who must jest, you jibe, you quip, you clank, you riddle, you rack, you from hour to hour, from day to day, from year to year, lest he dwindle, perish, starve, pine, and die. Why, when there's no one else to laugh at, I laugh at myself till I ache for it.
And yet, I have thought that a justice calling would suit me to a hair.
Would suit thee? Thee, thou jet-head and crossbones?
I have a pretty wit, a light, airy, joysome wit, spiced with anecdotes of the prison cells and the torture chambers. A very delicate wit. I've tried it on many a prisoner, and there have been some who have smiled. Now, it is not easy to make a prisoner smile, and it should not be difficult to be a good jester, seeing that thou art one.
Difficult? Nothing easier. Nothing easier. Attend to me, and I shall show thee. If you listen to popular rumor, from the morn to the night, he's so joyous and bright, and he bubbles with wit and good humor. He's so great and so terse, but from frozen and rushed, though people forgive his transgressions, there are one or two rules that all family fools must observe if they love the profession. There are one or two rules, half a dozen maybe, that all family fools of whatever degree must observe if they love the profession. As a jester, you'll need to consider each person's auricular. What is all right for B would quite scandalize C, for C is so very particular. And D may be dull, and E's very thick skull, and is empty of braids and a ladle. While F is F sharp, and will cry with the carp that he's known your best joke from his cradle. When your humour, they flout, you can't let yourself go. And it does put you out when the person says, oh, I've known that old joke from me cradle. When your master is surly from getting up early and tempers are short in the morning, an inopportune joke is enough to provoke him to give you at once a month's warning. Then if you refrain, he's at you again, for he likes to get value for money. He'll ask then and there, with an insolent stare, if you know that you're paid to be funny. Oh, and as the task of a merry man's place, when your principal asks with a scowl on his face, if you know that you're paid to be funny. Comes a bishop, maybe, or a solemn D.D., you'll be well in his anger provoking. Better not pull his hair or stick pins in his chair. He don't understand practical joking. If the jest that you crack have an orthodox bent, you may get a bland smile from these sages. But should they by chance be imported from France, have a crown and stop out with your wages. It's a general rule, though you'll see the language. If the family fool tells a joke that's too French, have a crown and stop out with your wages. Attacking your senses with toothache or losing. Don't be mopey and flat, they don't find you for that if you're properly created and using. Though your wife ran away with a soldier that day and took with her your trifle of money. Bless my heart, they don't mind. They're exceedingly kind. They don't blame you so long as you're funny. It's a comfort to feel though your partner should fit. Though you suffer a deal, they don't mind it a bit. They don't blame you so long as you're funny. Listen to me. My sweetheart Elsie Maynard was wed secretly to this fair past. Half an hour ere he escaped.
She did well.
She did nothing of the kind, so hold thy peace and prepend. Now while he liveth, she is dead to me. And all my jibes and jokes notwithstanding, I am the saddest and sourest dog in all England.
Thou art a very dull dog indeed.
Now if thou would swear that thou did shoot this Fairfax while he was trying to swim across the river, it needs but the discharge of an arquebus on a dark night, and he sank and was seen no more. I'll make thee the very Archbishop of Justice, and let him 2 days' time. Now what sayest thou?
I am to lie?
Heartily, but thy lie must be a lie of circumstance, which I will support with the testimony of eyes, ears, and tongue.
Thou wilt qualify me as a jester.
As a jester among jesters. I will teach thee all my original songs, my own self-constructed riddles, my own ingenious paradoxes. Nay, more, I will reveal to thee the source from whence I get them. Now, what sayest thou?
Why, if it be but a lie thou wantest of me, I hold it cheap enough, and I say yes, it is a bargain.
On the green, all that we do, do what we do, to be secured by solemn deed, to prevent all elemental, who an Elsie ought to call, with a story grim and gory,
how this Fairfax died and all, I declare to you to swear to.
I do swear to,
I declare to,
I do swear to,
I declare to,
I do swear to,
you ought to swear to,
I do swear to. Tell or tell or cock and bull, all convincing detail full. Mary, defend us, and defend us, what a tale of cock and bull.
In return for your part, I am making, undertaking to instruct you in the art. Art amazing, wonder amazing,
of a jester, jesting free. Proposition, high ambition,
and the lively wannabe. Wagga wagging, never flagging.
Wagga wagging,
never flagging.
Wagga wagging,
never flagging.
Wagga wagging,
never flagging.
Wagga wagging. Tell or tell or cock and bull. All convincing detail.
What a tale of cock and bull.
he's gone, and no news of poor Fairfax. But dolts, they seek him everywhere, save within a dozen yards of this dungeon. So I'm free. Free but for the cursed haste with which I hurried headlong into the bonds of matrimony with heaven knows whom. As far as I remember, she should have been young. But even had not her face been concealed by her kerchief, I doubt whether in my then plight I should have taken much note of her. Free? Bah! The tower bonds were but a thread of silk compared with these conjugal fetters which I, fool that I was, placed upon mine own hands. From the one I broke readily enough. How to break the other? From his fetters grim, free to depart, free both in life and limb, in all but heart, bound to an unknown bride for good and ill. Ah, is not one so tied? So tied, a prisoner still. Free yet in fetters held, till his last hour, gyves that no smith can weld, no rust devour. Although a monarch's hand had set him free, although the captive band, the saddest he, the saddest.
Sergeant Marilyn, how fares thy pretty charge, Elsie Maynard?
Well enough, sir. She's quite strong again and leaves us tonight.
Thanks to Dame Carruthers' kind nursing, eh?
I do take the old witch. 'Twas but a sorry trick you played on me, sir, bringing the fainting girl to me. Gave the old lady an excuse for taking up her quarters in my house, and for 2 years I've shunned her like a plague. But another day of it, and she would have married me. Oh, good Lord, here she is again. I'll even go.
Oh, nay, Sergeant Merrill, don't go. I have something of grave import to say to thee.
It's coming.
In faith, I think I'm not one to dare.
Nay, Master Leonard, I've naught to say to thy father that his son may not hear.
True, I'm one of the family. I had forgotten.
'Tis about this Elsie Maynard, a pretty girl, Master Leonard.
Aye, fair as a peach blossom. What then?
She hath a liking for thee, or I mistake not.
With all my heart, she's as dainty a little maid as you'll find on a midsummer day's march.
Then be warned in time, and give not thy heart to her. Oh, I know what it is to give my heart to one who will have none.
Aye, she knows all about that. And why is my boy to take heed of her? She's a good girl, Dame Crothers.
Good enough for aught I know. But she's no girl, she's a married woman.
A married woman? Tush, old lady, she's promised to Jack Boy to let tenants do just.
Tush in thy teeth, old man. Last night, as my niece Kate sat by her bedside, this Elsie slept. And as she slept, she moaned and groaned and turned this way and that, and
How shall I marry one I have never seen?
Quoth she. Then, 100 crowns, quoth she. Then,
I love him not, yet I am his bride,
quoth she. Then,
is it certain he will die in an hour?
Quoth she. Is not so, Kate?
I asked it even so.
Art thou sure of all this?
Aye, sir, for I wrote it all down on my tablets.
Then mark my words. It is of this Fairfax she spake, and he is her husband, or I'll swallow my kirtle.
Is it true, sir?
True? Why, the girl was raving. Why should she marry a man who had but an hour to live?
Marry? There be those who would marry but for a minute, rather than die old maids.
Aye, I know one of them.
Fortune's lucky bag. I might have fared worse with my eyes open. But she comes. Now to test her principles. 'Tis not every man who has a chance of wooing his own wife. Mistress Elsie.
Master Leonard.
So thou leavest us tonight.
Aye, Master Leonard. I have been kindly tendered, and I almost fear I'm loath to go.
And this Fairfax, wast thou glad when he escaped?
Why, truly, Master Leonard, it is a sad thing that a young and gallant gentleman should die in the very fullness of his life.
And when thou didst faint in my arms, it was for joy at his safety.
Why, it may be so, for I was highly wrought, Master Leonard, and I but a girl. And so, when I am highly wrought, I faint.
Now dost thou know I am consumed with a parlous jealousy?
Thou? And of whom?
Why, of this Fairfax, surely.
Of Colonel Fairfax?
Aye. Shall I be frank with thee? Elsie, I love thee ardently, passionately. Elsie, I have loved thee these 2 days, which is a long time, and I would fain join my life to thine.
Master Leonard, thou art jesting.
Jesting? May I shrivel into raisins if I jest. Elsie, I love thee with a love that is a fever, with a love that is a frenzy, with a love that eateth up my heart. What sayest thou
thou wilt not let my heart be eaten up.
Oh, mercy, what am I to say?
Dost thou love me, or hast thou been insensible these 2 days?
I love all brave men.
Nay, there is love in excess. I thank heaven there are many brave men in England, but if thou lovest them all, I withdraw my thanks.
I love the bravest best, but, sir, I may not listen. I am not free. I am a wife.
Thou a wife? Whose? His name, his hours are numbered. Nay, his bravest Duggan's epitaph set up. Come, his name!
Oh, sir, keep my secret. It is the only barrier that fate could put up between us. My husband is none other than Colonel Fairfax.
The greatest villain unhung! The most ill-favored, ill-natured, ill-mannered, ill-omened, ill-tempered dog in Christendom!
It may be so, for he is not to me. I was blindfolded, and he was to have died within the hour, and he did not die, and I am wedded to him, and my heart is broken.
He was to have died and did not die. The scoundrel, the perjured, traitorous villain! Thou shouldst have insisted on his dying first to make sure. Tis the only way with these Fairfaxes.
I now wish I had.
Bloodthirsty little maiden. A fig for this Fairfax. Be mine, he will never know. He dares not show his face. And if he dare, what art thou to him? Fly with me, Elsie. We will be married tomorrow, and thou shalt be the happiest wife in England.
Master Leonard, I am amazed. Is it thus that brave soldiers speak to poor girls? Oh, for shame, for shame. Sir, I am wed, not the less because I love not my husband. I am a wife, sir, and I have a duty. Oh, sir, thy words terrify me. They are not honest, they are wicked words, and unworthy of thy great and brave heart. Oh, shame upon thee, shame upon thee.
Nay, Elsie, I did but jest. I spake but to try thee.
Hark, what was that, sir?
Why, an arquebus fired from the wharf, unless I much mistake.
Strange. And at such an hour, what can it be?
No one can better be a shot so late at night, enough to cause a fright. What can the portent be?
A foreman in the land is left to be rent.
Shot, at once the truth declare.
My lord, 'twas I, to rashly judge forbear.
My lord, 'twas he, to rashly judge forbear.
Like a ghost in vigil keeping,
or a specter on a polly,
I beheld a figure creeping.
I should rather call it crawling.
He was creeping,
he was crawling.
He was creeping, creeping,
crawling.
He was creeping,
he was crawling.
He was creeping, creeping,
crawling.
Not a moment's hesitation, I myself upon him clung. With a hurried exclamation to his draperies I clung. And we closed with one another in a rough and tumble smother. Colonel Fairfax and no other was the man to whom I clung.
Colonel Fairfax and no other, Colonel Fairfax and no other, Colonel Fairfax and no other was the man to whom I clung.
After mighty tug and tussle,
it resembled more a struggle.
He by dint of stronger bustle,
or by some infernal juggle,
from my clutches quickly sliding,
I should rather call it slipping,
with the funeral now of hiding,
or escaping through the shipping,
with a gasket, with a quiver,
I describe it as a shiver.
Now he dived into the river, and unless I cannot swim,
he's not to make a shiver with a gasket, with a quiver.
Now he dived into the river,
and standing
there to
him.
Ingenuity is catching, with the view I keep of pleasing, not the muscles and dispatching. With an answer to a lead, I dispatch him through the head.
With an answer to a lead, we dispatch him through the head.
I discharge it without thinking. Little time I lost in thinking. Like a stone, I saw him sinking.
I should say enough of lead.
We discharge it without thinking. Little time he lost in thinking.
Like a stone, I saw him sinking.
I should say enough of lead.
Like a stone, no more, I say.
Like a heavy lump of lead.
Like a stone, no more, I say.
Like a heavy lump of lead.
Anyhow, the man is dead. Whether stone or lump of lead.
Anyhow, the man is dead. Whether stone or lump of lead. My combustion sends you seizing, but the dew is king of blazing. My combustion sends you seizing, but the dew is king of blazing. Those are shot through the head, and he's dead, and he's dead. And it matters very little whether stone or lump of lead.
So set to work with what dispatch we may.
Yes, yes, we'll set to work with what dispatch we may.